No. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
All right, it's DGS on a Tuesday. Dave out. He'll be back later on in the week. The rest of us hanging out here. Happy to have our buddy Brad Young with us, attorney and what would you say? Political analyst.
Analyst.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say like honcho, but. You know, I was trying to give it.
I'm not that important.
I was trying to give it a little. Obviously, today talking about some legal stuff. You said a couple of really interesting stories today, Brad. Which one would you rather go to? Do you want to go to the story from Alabama or the Supreme Court?
Well, I think the Alabama case is more topically relevant here, and here's exactly what happened. Wheels. There was a 3-judge panel in Alabama blocked the state of Alabama from using a Republican-backed congressional map for 2026. Now, why is this important? Well, you remember there was a Supreme Court case a couple of weeks ago, Calais versus Louisiana, that said that you cannot have these districts that are created just for Black Americans. You can't do that. That's racially discriminating against whites or Asians or Hispanics or anyone else. For African Americans to have their own district, unless there's evidence of discrimination. When we talked about that case, Wheels, we talked about the problem that I had. I don't have a problem with making sure that there's no racial discrimination in the creation of the districts. The problem I had is, how do we prove? How is it proved if there is racial discrimination? In this case, really answers that question.
Okay.
And this 3-judge panel from Alabama said that there was evidence of historical, intentional discrimination based upon race. It cited evidence going back years about the Congress the legislature rather in Alabama creating districts that specifically excluded Blacks from being able to have any sort of a vote. And so it struck the map. And I think that really answers the question that you and I and Dave talked about a few weeks ago, which is, how do you prove it? And this court actually answered that question.
Okay. It's an interesting point. And it's to me, the whole topic is fascinating. The whole topic of redistricting, because what we're doing, no matter who's doing it, what we're doing is we're trying to legally rig the game in our favor.
Right? Oh yeah. Oh no. That's exactly what's happening. You know, if you want to make it in a sports analogy, I mean, we're playing basketball here and it's make it, take it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if you win the legislature, you get to take it in terms of how you carve up the districts. And what's intriguing on this is that if you go back hundreds of years in our country, the courts have always said, look, if you're going to redistrict based upon keeping a party in power to stay in power, we're not going to get involved in that. That's what elections are for.
Right.
And if the people don't like it, then you vote out the people who are in power. But if there's racial discrimination, which is what this court found, the Alabama court found today, then it impacts not only the Voting Rights Act, but it also impacts the 14th Amendment. Now you've got the court's attention and they're going to get involved.
The whole thing is fascinating because this is a very specific, very specific case where the judges are saying there's evidence that this has been done based on race or that there's some kind of racial component to it. There are only certain groups that would be protected, right? Because it's perfectly fine, apparently, to just say we're trying to set this up for one party to succeed in this particular state in this particular election. And again, doesn't matter because we've seen the redistricting from Republicans and Democrats. It's the same idea either way. Doesn't matter. It matters if people are doing it more or less. But for the purpose of what I'm asking, I don't think it matters. Is that in any way questionable? To be like, yep, we're just trying to run out Democrats, or we're just trying to run out Republicans. Like, is that in any way a consideration, or is that just politics and that's the game?
Yeah, that's exactly what the court has said on so many occasions in the past, Kevin. Which is, if you're just doing this for political gain, have at it. The courts are not going to step in. But if you're doing it for racial discrimination, now the courts are going to step in. And I think this is particularly relevant for Missouri because right now, we just went through the same redistricting process recently, and the legislature carved up Kansas City, which was a traditional black district. I think it was Representative Cleaver in Kansas City carved up his district in half. And so the question's going to be the same here in Missouri when that case gets litigated. Is there evidence of racial discrimination? Yes or no? If no, it's that the African Americans aren't guaranteed a voting block, just like neither are Asians or any other minority group. But there has to be evidence of discrimination.
Interesting. So taking the legal half off for a second and going to the political analyst side, is there a way to stop this silliness? And I mean, the silliness, I'm not talking about the discrimination. I'm talking about this constant gerrymandering where a district looks like a snake and another one looks like a swan and another one looks like a doggy. It's like, it all feels so dishonest. And again, doesn't matter which political side wants to do it in my world. Again, I'm not trying to say who does it more or worse. That's not what I'm arguing. I'm saying the same idea should apply. Is there a way to avoid that, or it's just too far gone? This is it, and there's just no fixing it.
Well, part of the thing is, and this is so true in so many areas, Kevin, if you wanted to change it, it would require the politicians to change it. They don't want to change it.
No, that's a good point.
Because they currently have the power to make it the way they want to. So it's almost like going to your boss and saying, I want you to triple my salary. And the boss is going to say, no, that comes out of my pocket. There's no way that this is going to happen here as long as politicians are in charge. So when you take that out of the equation, really the only answer I see is a state-driven constitutional amendment that says in all congressional districts will be apportioned by population only in representative size across the state, or some way to, it would take a encyclopedic type definition that to be fair. Right.
Yeah.
But I think it could be done, but I practically don't see how it could be done in the absence of a constitutional amendment, which frankly is never going to happen.
No, it's not. It's not like these are all dream world things. Like, I could say, well, all we need are all the voters to wake up and vote for candidates that will change it. Okay. And, if you can dream it, you can do it. Right?
Like,
this isn't a Disney movie. We were talking Disney earlier. This ain't a Disney movie, man. It's not like
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Oh, man. I long for a world where the way we draw up maps is just based on math.
Sure.
Pure population representation, not weird, not gerrymandered to either anybody's favor. And I do think it works against competition. And to me, one of the things I love about being in a market driven place and being in a capitalist society is competition. We're supposed to love competition, and competition brings out the best. And unfortunately, we are in a non-competitive political world.
Right. And just to give the flip side of the argument to that whole proportional mathematical apportionment, the some counties would argue that discriminates against them, because then you're going to have districts that are going to be dominated by the metropolitan centers. So, for example, in Missouri, I could see Cape Girardeau and Dexter arguing that that method would be unfair, because then Kansas City and Columbia and Kansas City is going to have the controlling say for the state. I can argue like six different hands on this, right? But that would be, and that's why, because of all the argument, I just don't see it ever changing.
Is it unfair in a democracy when more people think one thing and more people end up winning?
I mean, I don't necessarily think so. I think that's the way it works. But I am against, right? That's the way it works.
Yeah.
The only place that I'm against it is like, for example, the Electoral College. That was designed, and I think that is a fair way of doing it. It's designed to give the states a say as opposed to the entire country. Because then, if it weren't for the Electoral College, Idaho would have no say. you know, Montana would have no say on anything. So that's why we do have the Electoral College nationwide, as opposed to simply let's count up all the votes and see who wins. Hmm. That does create balance between rural areas and city areas. I just don't know that we need to take it to the next level on a state by state basis.
Hmm. Man, I wish we had a little more time. We'll have to do this over wings one day, Brad, because it's
okay.
Because it's fascinating to me, because if you're a Republican, your vote doesn't matter in California. And if you are a Democrat, your vote doesn't matter in Missouri. I'm talking like for presidential election. I mean, it matters in smaller races, of course, where they're more competitive. So it's interesting about that idea of fairness and what is fair and what isn't, because one way or the other, in any given state, somebody's getting shut down.
Every time.
Yeah. Maybe that's just it, right? Maybe that's just the way of the world, right?
Every time.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the other story, Brad, the Supreme Court story that you mentioned that relates to immigration judges and speech.
Well, this case is being, I think it's being improperly reported nationally. It's saying that the Supreme Court sides with Trump in this fight tied to speech curbs. In other words, there was regulations that were sent out about what immigration judges can say publicly, which really is a First Amendment issue. You're controlling what judges can or cannot say. And to say the Supreme Court sided with Trump implies that these judges have to stay quiet. And this really gets to the heart of sometimes analysts get these things wrong, because this is really just a procedural fight. All the procedures about whether the lower court did this right or that wrong. Hmm. And so the Supreme Court sent it back down. So the substantive issue was not decided at all.
Okay.
And it's going to be saved for a later day. But I just really caution folks when you see headlines, Supreme Court sides with Trump in fight tied to speech curbs. Well, no, they didn't. They decided the lower court added in evidence that they shouldn't have.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court sent it back down to the lower court. You always have to look for substantive decisions, not procedural decisions.
Brad, I'm just wondering, in terms of curbing speech or controlling speech when it comes to judges, is there another topic, like, other than immigration, that you could draw a line to and say, like, oh, this it happens in this genre of law?
Oh, sure. And the greatest area of that, Rachel, is in the area of employment law, which is where I actually practice. So we've seen people fired for things that they post on social media, and everyone says, hey, doesn't that violate the First Amendment? No, it doesn't. Yeah. Because companies aren't bound by the First Amendment. It may be bad. It may be bad PR. It may be wrong, or they shouldn't do it, but it's not illegal. And so the question, though, with immigration judges here is the government is trying to tell the judges what they can or cannot say. That does trigger First Amendment scrutiny. But when an employer does it, it does not trigger any type of scrutiny. So that's why employers can literally fire people what they post on social media. It happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is an often misunderstood thing by the general public, where, you know, you'll even see it in sports. Guy, you know, athlete. I don't know if you saw it last week, Brad, but the Cubs center fielder, Pete Crow Armstrong, swore at a heckler and, you know, told her, you know, some terrible things to do. Or in language that you probably shouldn't, in language you should not use in a professional setting like that if you're a professional athlete. And if he were to get fined, if he were to get suspended, whatever, that has nothing to do with his freedom of speech, because you're representing the business.
And that's why I think that the argument over these late night comedy shows is so intriguing.
Yeah.
Because the networks can fire people for what they say on the air. Mm-hmm. But if it's done as a result of pressure from the government, now it triggers that First Amendment scrutiny. And so that's why these issues are just so juicy, because of who's doing what and on what authority are they doing it.
Awesome stuff, Brad. You're the best. We'll talk to you again later on in the week.
Thanks, everybody.
There you go. Brad Young, our legal analyst. And I tried to give him the title of,
he's the legal honcho.
Yeah, the political honcho, legal expert.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he
he's just going to keep it simple. That's Brad.
He's humble, that Brad Young. That's why I like him.
He's the best. All right, stick around. DGS rolling along here on a Tuesday. DGS on a Tuesday. Dave will be back later in the week. The rest of us just chilling. You got something teed up, Rach? I said that earlier, too. I repeated the exact same thing, like, word for word.
Okay.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I have something I'd like to talk to you guys about. The the longer my life goes on, the longer I change, or the more I change my opinions on things. One thing that just feels like kind of irresponsible to me at this point is the concept of a fashion trend. Like something that you know is not going to be around in a year. Like it is very much of the moment. And being a lady, I am advertised to quite frequently. And I do like clothes. I like shopping for clothes. But I have kind of started gravitating more towards classic things that I will be able to wear for as long as
possible. Things that don't go in and out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the things that go in and out, first of all, I do not have enough money to keep up with the trends. Like just full disclosure, I'm poor. I can't do it. And then it's also bad for the environment, and it just feels pretty wasteful to just be buying tons of like cheap clothes all the time, or just not quality clothes. But then it just feels silly on top of that. I saw a Target ad this morning, and it was like, ladies, don't worry, we have the latest trend, tomato red. So I guess red in the shade of a tomato is like the hot color this summer.
Good boy.
And the way they do these colorways is like, it's cool now, but in 3 years, if you're caught, I would be caught dead in tomato red. That is so 2026.
It's so passive.
It's like, dude, come on, just wear what looks nice on you.
Yep.
I don't understand this that we're kind of still on this hamster wheel of like, oh, it's because last summer it was butter yellow. Everyone's in yellow. Yes. And like, yeah, it's a pretty color, but the thought of it being in last year and out this year just feels very, very silly and dumb. And the more I see like influencers and whoever else talking about it on social media, the more I'm like, you know, this is all fake, right? Like you just wear whatever you want and whatever looks good on you.
I was going to say, do the fashionable people all show up to places all wearing the same thing?
I mean,
oh, look at us. We're all cool. We're all in yellow. Great. Good for you.
Yeah, because that's the other
lemmings.
Thing. It's like everyone's just following. Since when did it become cool to follow the trend?
Great. Is it speeding up? Is it like because of social media? Like, does the change speed up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, we've gone through eras, right? Where, like, you'd be like, that's an 80s look that you're pulling off there. That's a 90s look. Now it feels like it's a 2025 or a 2026.
Yes.
As opposed to a decade.
Yeah. And I you're absolutely right. It's because of social media that we cycle through it so quickly. And it's like, I mean, I guess if you have the money to do it, like, that, good for you. But the wastefulness is still, like, that's still too much for me. Like,
well, trends are like, not to be too Kevin Wheeler about it.
Oh, please do.
But trends are entirely fake. There's nothing about this year that makes red look good and yellow look bad. And there's nothing about last year that made yellow look extra good.
Right.
It's just, they're just trying to trick you into buying
their
clothes. They're trying to trick you into buying clothes, basically.
Yeah, whenever I saw that ad and it was like tomato red, I swear something broke inside of me. I was like, this has gone too far. Tomato red, it's just red.
It's just red.
It's a 4th of July color. It's one of those colors. Stop acting like it's
a primary.
Like
leave it alone.
New thing. Like, oh my gosh.
Are you gathering up the tea? Have you had enough of mine? Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. So it's always the same.
It's Tuesday on DGS. Dave will be back later on in the week, finishing up that trip out west. California, they say. Wonder if he struck gold.
California.
What if he went out there and was just panning for gold?
It'd be pretty funny. I could see Dave getting very wrapped up in that.
I'm sure the reality of it is terrible. Mm-hmm. But when I see the like old shows like Deadwood and, you know, the other Gold Rush movies and things are like an old, like a history documentary, I always think, man, that must have been exciting. Like, even though, 99% of people never found Jack Squat, or at least nothing serious, just that idea that you could go literally find millions and millions of dollars. Just find it in the ground.
Were you off when Sue was in here talking about panning for gold?
No, I think she mentioned it in Arkansas, right?
Was that right?
Where there's like a place where you can go.
Yes, I think so, yeah. And she said she didn't find anything, but it's fun for a time.
Sure. Absolutely. But it may be, I don't know, maybe it's just the idea of like setting off west.
Yeah.
You and your
horse. Covered wagon.
It still does sound like it'd get boring after a while, though, right?
Oh, man, you would be so bored.
I would be
bored.
Dead. Could I bring my Xbox? All right, let's do Razor's Edge.
Okay, so in the last segment, we talked about how fashion trends are just fake things that we make up. Well, speaking of fake things that are made up, I saw this article, and I wanted to do this for the three of us on the show. It's called Meet Your Birth Month Woodland Animal.
Wait, what?
And the meaning behind the forest-dwelling critters. So these animals are going to correspond with our birth months, and we're going to see if we agree with the general aura that have been assigned to us here on the show.
Good. Okay. I do a lot of these type of examinations.
These kind of tests.
Because while this is fake and dumb, I think it's probably real.
Yes. Okay.
Also.
Correct.
I think it is scientifically sound.
Yeah.
So let's start with July. Andrew and I are both born in the month of July, so I guess we're going to be the same woodland creature. And they say that we are a cougar.
Okay, I agree.
So cougars are solitary, powerful, and intensely focused. It's yes. not sounding great. They don't announce themselves. Instead, they prefer to move with purpose.
Uh-huh.
I think this one is fake, actually, the more I read about this. There's a quiet magnetism to you that doesn't need explanation.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I've often been told.
So Andrew's definitely agreeing with the way this is describing him. I have maybe some more doubts when it comes to myself, but let's move on to September.
You might have bled into August because you're pretty late in July.
Well,
right?
That means that I'm the black bear.
Okay.
August. I'm adaptable, curious, and surprisingly gentle when not threatened. I represent both strength and warmth.
When not threatened?
Hey.
So they just copied and pasted like the real traits of these animals.
Yeah, yeah.
But our birth
absolutely.
Months make us these animals according to
gardeningknowhow.com. According to people.
Love to eat cookies out of trash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will wreck your campsite.
So let's see if we agree about Dave Glover's birth month woodland creature. And that is September. He's born on September 6th. Dave is a bobcat.
Oh.
Bobcats are elusive, focused, and highly perceptive. They don't waste energy on anything unnecessary, which means you observe more than you speak and choose your moments carefully.
Mm.
I mean, he's definitely
it's
highly
a bit
perceptive.
Of those. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's true or false, but I do know whatever we said, he would have his feelings hurt.
Vic on the stream says Andrew with squirrel.
Andrew a squirrel, okay.
None of them are a squirrel, right?
I'm not seeing a squirrel on the list. These are all pretty
these are all cool
majestic
animals. Yeah.
Majestic?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Majestic.
I think cougars mess up words sometimes.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to November. That's Kevin Wheeler's birth month. Kevin is the brown bear.
Oh. Mm.
You embody introspection as much as strength. And they spend long periods in quiet reflection.
Come on now.
I am known to hibernate every once in a while.
You carry emotional depth and endurance, not to mention the kind of strength that doesn't need to be visible to be real.
Okay.
It's
most
jacked. It's just the whole quiet thing.
Yeah, the quiet part is making me go, maybe this isn't so accurate.
Is there like a month where it's like a dog that barks a lot?
It says November dog that won't shut up.
One of those over muscly dogs.
it's just the barky dog in your neighborhood.
Okay, well, that was fun.
No, that's cool.
I don't know how accurate that was. But.
Yeah, if you could pick.
Oh, our woodland creature?
Just along these lines where you don't have to go. We don't have to pick anything off of the safari or whatever. Like these, you know, these North American foresty animals.
Mm.
Which one do you think fits you the most? Because I, as the master of wolves, would pick the wolf.
I was hoping yours was going to be a wolf.
Yeah.
I might want to be like a little fox.
Okay. Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah,
smart
I like
little
foxes.
Guys.
What about you, Andrew?
Bird.
Bird?
Bird, maybe.
Kind of bird.
Woodland.
Andrew doesn't even know what
he's like.
Oh,
little birdies.
One of those little ones.
Is there different kinds?
Like the little finch guys. Would you want to be a cardinal?
Sure.
A hawk, an eagle. You got eagles on the east side.
Sure.
There is a AI commercial for a local law firm that shows a bald eagle flying around downtown St. Louis.
Oh.
It is truly incredible.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Have we ever seen one of them down around here?
I haven't noticed one flying through the arch and around the old courthouse and down onto Keener Plaza, but I'm keeping my eyes peeled.
They're known for buzzing the tower on the arch, you know?
Okay, so that was fun. Let's pivot here. I do need a ruling for you guys from you guys for Razor's Edge. I want to know if you think the server was in the wrong here. So a New York City restaurant ended up charging a Midwestern couple. You know us Midwesterners, we go to NYCs. We have no idea what's
going
on.
It's the big city.
Exactly.
What are we doing here in the city?
We get to Manhattan, we say, what the heck is that? And it's just a taxi.
Buildings for?
Well, what is that there?
That's how they treat the Midwest.
Yeah.
We're all from the country, dude.
So this restaurant ended up charging a Midwestern couple $60 in Diet Coke refills because the waitress didn't tell them up front that soda refills weren't free.
And they got 20 of them?
She said, yeah, they got like 12 Diet Cokes. And I mean, everything is more expensive in
New
York.
No, that's true. Yeah, I say it's probably about $4 a pop, right?
Yeah, I would assume. Yeah, on like the cheaper side, right?
Yeah.
But this couple, because they're from the Midwest, assumed that the refills were free. And then they stormed out after they paid the check and ended up like shouting at the hostess about how this was BS. They shouldn't have charged them, but they did pay and they did still tip because we're polite here in the Midwest. We try to be anyway.
Mm-hmm. I would not have tipped.
Okay,
you need to tell me when there's a charge for something. You need to tell me.
Now, the waitress, this is where it gets a little sticky. The waitress did not say, like, yeah, that'll be another $4. She didn't, but she never offered the additional drink.
Mm-hmm.
She waited for the guests to request them. And then she never used the word refill. She said something along the lines of like, okay, I'll bring you another order. So she says, I was implying the charge.
Don't imply. I bet it says it on the menu.
Probably.
Would be my guess is the menu would say, you know, no free refills or whatever. If it doesn't, well, then that's a problem for the restaurant. But you got, as a former server, you have to communicate that.
Implying the charge
just
means that you know you should tell them about
that. Yes, right. Just use the words.
If you're hinting and going like, I'll bring you another order of sodas.
Yep. Just use your words.
So you're saying her implication was an admission of guilt, basically.
Yes, if she is admitting that she tried on multiple occasions to imply that there were no free refills, that means she suspected in her head that these people did not know that there were no free refills and felt that they should know in some way.
Yeah, just use
words. Or at least she felt like she needed to have her butt covered in case there was some sort of a fallout from charging
right, but
these
she
people
knew that there
$70
was a potential fallout, right? Just, I mean, like, how hard would it be when someone says, I'd like a refill? Hey, just so you know, our policy is we do not do free refills.
Mm-hmm.
I can bring you water if you would like. But if you'd like another one, it's going to be the same. Like, that's how you handle it directly.
Yeah.
When you're going to hint around, you're asking for trouble. And just popping $60 on someone when they don't expect it is a big deal.
I agree with you guys. I do think it is ultimately on the server to be like, yeah, I suspect something might be amiss, so let me just speak up and avoid conflict later. We can work it out right now.
Mm-hmm. Also, what do you think you're going to do by just saying it up front?
I guess offend them.
But you're just stating your restaurant, hey, listen, I don't love this. I've done this a million times as a server.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, I don't love this, but I have to upcharge that, or that's going to cost this or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do it for you. I wish I could get you a free one. You can make it out so that you're not the bad guy.
Right. Well, maybe she was trying to protect her tip in the end, which they did still tip.
Man, good for them. They're nice. Nicer than I'd be. And I mean, I'm a tipper, but man, when you don't tell me about a basic thing, I'm going to be upset about that.
Well, here's the thing. I want to defend the Midwestern couple because we got to stand up against these New York bullies, right? That being said, they ordered 12 Diet Cokes.
That's a lot.
That's six Diet Cokes per person.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've done that.
And then she said they split one entree.
Oh. Oh.
So they're just in there guzzling soda. Like, that's making us look a little bad.
Oh,
okay.
I might be changing my vote. If you're going to sit there. Now, again, I have definitely done the four or five refills thing I've definitely done it.
Sure.
Especially when you're at a place for a long time. Like if you're going to be there for a couple hours and you're hanging with friends or whatever. I've definitely done that part. That part. But man, two people splitting. I don't know.
Maybe it was like one of those glasses with the huge chunks of ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be real, though. Some places like...
Or like a very small glass.
Yeah. There are places where the servings are so big that one person's not going to eat it. And if you're on vacation and you're not bringing it back, you're out for the day and you're not going to be able to bring it back to a hotel or to your house or whatever, I don't want to judge that too much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say you should tip like it's two people, though. Like you ordered two things.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my path if I did that. But man... That's bad on all fronts.
It's just PSA to us Midwesterners, if you're going to the big city.
They're looking to get you in the city.
You study that menu because they're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you if there's no free
city slickers
refills.
Trying to pull one over on me. Tuesday afternoon, Dave will be back later in the week. The rest of us holding down the fort. We'll have Dave Murray coming up at 3:30 in his normal spot. Matt Pauly is going to join us in the beginning of the 4 o'clock hour. Rush Hour Sports, Redbird Rush Hour, I should say, from 5 until about 5:40. And then at 5:45, pregame starts, 6:40 first pitch for the Cardinals and the Brewers in Milwaukee tonight. Andrew, I got a question for you. Well, why do you feel like you're dying?
I don't know. It was like...
What's wrong?
There's a lot of stuff, a lot of things that feel like they're going wrong with me medically. And I know that's probably all in my head.
Are they really going wrong?
Something's going on.
Something's going on.
Yeah, something's up. I'm not 100% sure what, but something's up. And I, the thing is.
That's me.
Hey, Rach in the background.
Shut up, you.
A little double Rach.
And so it's like, but it just makes me wonder, like, is this something that, you know, those kind of maybe hypochondriac feelings where maybe things aren't as bad as you think they are. Maybe what you're feeling are like normal stuff, right? Or like there's simple explanation. Like I pee a lot, right? Like it's been excessive lately, it feels
okay.
like. But I also drink tons and tons of like soda and energy drinks, and those are like pretty heavy diuretics, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which can like really aggravate your bladder and you know, all that stuff. So it's like, am I diabetic or am I just like drinking too much caffeine all the time?
Are you drinking water also?
No.
Oh.
Why don't you think about like cutting back on some of that stuff?
I am cutting back on some of it. And that's come as a result of me having these, you know, thoughts and feelings, right? But it's still like, you know, it still tends to like all consume your thoughts all day, right?
When was the last time you went to the doctor?
Oh. I was queuing that question up myself. Like, if you're feeling bad, you could go get checked.
You should go to the doctor.
10-ish years ago,
it's
probably.
It's time to go to the doctor. Time.
See, you can get away with that in your 20s.
Yeah.
We all did. I did, too. In my 20s, I never went. In my 30s, and I'm not going to lie, I'm raise my hand, honest Abe here. I did it because my wife made me when I was in my 30s. I don't remember how old, but I was somewhere in my 30s. I don't remember exactly if it was early or mid or whatever, but... and ever since then, it's been every year visit and then follow-ups when necessary. But ever since then, I've been on it. You're just at the age, buddy. You got to get on it. Mm. I mean, it's not like you've done what most of us do. When you don't need it and you're in your 20s, you're just like, whatever, I'm just going to roll through everything. Because you can. You're fine.
Yeah.
You get in your 30s, it's time to start paying attention. Because it's not going to matter now, but it's definitely going to matter in 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So... We have given you our advice.
Do you think that is a thing, though?
What's that?
Like, just sort of obsessing over those things as you get older. Is that, like, a common thing that people deal with,
yes.
you think? Or
I think so, but I also think it becomes more of a thing when you don't have the opinion of a doctor who's going to tell you it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is a thing, and here's the solution to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's been for, you know, basically all of the time that I've dealt with whatever things have come up over the years. Is that it's less stressful when you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you're just told, yeah, nothing. Nothing. Like for what? I went to the ER a couple of times because I didn't know what the hell was going on. I felt terrible. It was just reflux. I didn't know that, but going and finding out and then following up and be like, yep, that's it. Here's how you fix it. Stop eating this. Eat better this. Do, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, and especially,
having a solution helps.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, you're fortunate enough to have health insurance, like you got to take advantage of it and do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel better.
It's time, Andrew.
Yeah.
You want to have doctor's visits on your own terms, not when everything hits the fan.
Well, that's a good point. That's
yeah,
good
because that prevents the bigger fan hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least can prevent it. I mean, obviously, some things are they are what they are. And they're going to happen whether you're getting visits or not, but you still have a course of action. Plus, it's always good to have that person as someone that can kind of be your quarterback. Like, if things are wrong, okay, I'm gonna talk to this doctor for you, and I'm going to talk to this person for you and kind of help you sort through what is very, and you know, I don't need to tell you, it can be very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So, go get a checkup.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I feel like I upset him by
Andrew's
saying
like,
that.
No.
It's not that. It's just, you know.
It's part of the age thing that you referenced, dude. It's that's what it is. You're right. The older you get, the more you will think about something when you don't feel right. Because when you're 20, you don't care. When you're 25, you don't care because you know you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the older you get, the less fine you think you are.
Yeah, like this past year, I've had a lot. I don't want anyone to think like Rachel's on the brink, but like I've just had a lot of things go wrong and I've had to follow up on a bunch of things. And it is just being in my 30s and getting a little older, you know?
It's the price of aging, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to me, like price of aging, you old 30 somethings.
But it is real. I mean, I feel much differently than I did 5 years ago, you know?
It's very easy to be like, well, if I don't know if there's something wrong, then I can just pretend there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, but then you'll always have that in your head that you're talking about, that thought you're thinking of. Is there something actually wrong that I'm not catching?
Yeah.
And that doesn't protect you from whatever's wrong.
Yeah.
If there is something wrong. It's not like, hey, I didn't look at it, so it doesn't exist. Like, it still exists.
Yeah.
It's not like a speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If I just pretend I forget about it. Because the consequences of the speeding ticket thing are not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do it.
If you're worried, you should go talk to the doc.
Yeah.
And he can set your mind at ease about some things.
I mean, I had
or
to
she,
be.
Or she.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? Yep. I had to be told to do it and talked into it. I don't know if that's a dude thing.
Might be.
It was. I mean, I don't know if it is or not, but I know it was true for me in my 30s.
I have a lot of sympathy for Andrew, though, because doctor stuff is hard. It is hard for me to, like, figure out how... Like, I can do most things in life. I find it difficult to, like, figure out who I'm supposed to contact and, like...
Yeah.
They don't make it easy.
It's just, like, a blind spot for...
No.
Yeah,
you'll have to find someone in your area, and then you're probably going to need months to get in for the first time, because usually scheduling, like, just an initial thing is going to take months. But if you do it now, then you got all that time to be like, you're not doing it.
My dad's listening. Hi, Dad. Sorry if I'm embarrassing the family.
That's not embarrassing, dude.
No, this is a helpful conversation.
I guarantee you... thousands of people in their 30s are thinking, wait, I should go to the doctor.
Absolutely.